We are once again going to talk about transformation. And we're taking it apart piece by piece, trying to be able to understand why we need to be transformed, what are we being transformed from, and what are we being transformed to. So many believers feel like they're failures because they don't see perfection quick enough. And the reason I feel it's so important to teach this subject in depth is because you need to know that you're not weak. You're probably stronger than you realize. And you're not off course. You're probably more on course than you realize. And when you understand transformation, the pathway of transformation, that will help you know where you're going and why you have to do this. Why wasn't it just instant? God, why when I was saved, why didn't everything get fixed? Why do I still have these issues? Well, if you've been listening to the series, you begin to understand that he had to leave you in this natural body. And that in the end, he's going to make sure we're complete. He took us from a species called the human race, where we were completely dark. And then he will end up with us in the end, when the trumpet sounds and we have our new eternal body, our outward body will be replaced with a new eternal body. We'll be complete once again, but this time completely light. And what an amazing miracle it is that he was able to keep you safe, you, as he rebuilt everything around you from one species of darkness to where in the end you were completely light. None of darkness left, completely a new species, and you're still there. It's an amazing miracle. Amazing, amazing. And so today we're going to talk and try to get a better understanding of the body. And I want to try to prove to you today that in Scripture, of course, try to prove that the body, the Word talks about the body or the flesh, that the body is not just a body. See, we take from the teaching, I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. And it's a good teaching, and understandably, from a distance, it's perfectly correct. But as you go closer and closer and see the more in fine detail what that means, it's much more complex than that. Not in a bad way complex, but you need to see it closer before you understand why. So for instance, if I just walk with the idea that I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body, then because of that, I think that my body is just the skin and the nose and the toes. And my soul, what we classify as mind, will, and emotions, it's my job to make it go from one place to another. I have to make it think right. I need to make it act right. I need to make it behave right. And from a distance, that's exactly what it looks like. But when we get closer, we find out it's much more than that. It's much more powerful than that. See, when the Bible talks about the body, it's not just talking about your fingernails. It's not just talking about your toes and your eyes and your nose. It's talking about the outward man. See, you were created from Adam having an inward body and an outward body. And they are connected. And inside of that body was also what we would call your mind, will, and emotions. They're connected to both worlds. The outward man, the flesh, is the outward body, is connected to the earth, to this world, the natural world. While the spiritual man, inward body, is connected to the spiritual world. And it's important we know that, because whether you realize it or not, the spiritual world is actually more real than the natural world. We just don't get to see it very often, but it's there and it's very real. And you have access to the spiritual realm through your inner man. Now, your inner man contains the spiritual part of your soul, mind, will, and emotions. Now, when you were born again, you received that new nature, which brought to life your inner body and the inner part of your soul. So now you have access to a spiritual mind that can understand the deep things of God, and access to spiritual emotions and spiritual desires that are completely godly, completely righteous, and desire only holiness, because the new nature has brought it to life. But yet, at the same time, those two, the outward body, is very personal. They're connected. I call them the conjoined twins. They're connected in the minds, in the hearts, and for emotions, and in the feet for desires and will. They're connected, but now the flesh, the outward man, lusts against the spirit man, the inner man. They fight against each other because they're contrary to one another. The desires of your spiritual side of your soul, mind, will, and emotions, are light and want God and righteousness. And that's where we get the fruit of the Spirit from. While at the same time, the outward man was left dark, left dead, and now it desires things of this world. And there is a battle going on inside of you the moment you're saved, and you have to overcome one or you'll live by it your whole life. When we talk about body, we're going to look at a few words, body and flesh, today, and try to bring a little more light, because I don't want us to see when we say I'm mortifying the body. Well, we're not cutting our fingers off or slashing ourselves or trying to suffer that way. That's not what we're talking about, because this body is just the body. My hands never argued with me. When I went to go buy something or give someone money, it never stopped and said, I'm not going to do it. Hand, go grab my wallet. Nope, not going to do it. I don't agree. See, when it talks about mortifying the body, it's not talking about your skin. I saw a video where a young man was in a horrible accident. He lost, actually, from his belly button down, was destroyed. And they were able to keep him alive and sew him up. Now he has his upper body, but below his belly button, there's nothing there. And he's still living. He's still feeling the emotions. He's as much as who he was, as a person, who he was before the accident. Because when we talk about the flesh or the body, we're not just talking about the toes and fingernails. We're talking about the natural part of your soul. So you were born again, and you had an inner body and an outward body connected, perfectly in unity, dark. The new nature brought to life the inner man, which contains the spiritual side or the inner side of your inner body's mind, will, and emotions. And it's still connected to the outward side, mind, will, and emotions. Now, in the end, God's going to bring us all back together complete by giving us a new eternal body. And that's what I'm reading here. I mean, I'm looking for 1 Corinthians here, chapter 15. And we've gone over this some in the past few teachings, but I'm doing pass and review here, which means we go over it again and again to keep us on the same page together. Verse 44, talking about when the trumpet sounds, that this natural body, this body, will be sown a natural body, it will be raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. Not talking about the inner man, this is talking about your new outward body that's going to be replaced. So the fight that you're going through right now with desires and plans, sometimes it's sin, like carnal sin, smoking and drinking. Sometimes it's just missing the mark. Let's not sell out to God. Let's just do this and do that. So the natural man, the natural body, I want you to understand, contains the natural side of your mind, will, and emotions. And that is a part of what we are struggling with. Let's just read for a little bit, and then we will see if we can get this picture painted today. It's sown a natural body is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there's a spiritual body. And this is talking about the new body that God's going to give us when the trumpet sounds. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This is when we will receive a new incorruptible body. That's 1 Thessalonians 5, where he's going to place us back together to where our inner man, which is now light and righteous because of the new nature, the inner man is not just a body, it's the body that contains a mind, emotions, and a will. But it's spiritual, it's alive because of the new nature, it only wants God. This is why you, when you seek God, will get instructions and you feel passionate about doing something, but yet at the same time you feel hesitant. Well, you got, where are these two voices coming from? One's your inward man, one's your outward man. So the body, when it talks about the body, it's not just talking about the skin. It's talking about the soul, the natural part of your soul and the spiritual part of your soul. The way the Lord told me was, I was reading in Galatians, and it said, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And I heard the Lord speak to my heart. He said, is love an emotion? And see, that helped me to see that I have spiritual emotions that I can cultivate and grow. Because it uses the word, the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit only comes from a mature tree. And we're going to get into all this when we get into transformation. I'm still trying to show you what is going on before we even get to there. It'll be worth it for you to learn all this. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Verse 51, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and dead will be raised up incorruptible, and we will be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So God is going to, this is 1 Thessalonians 5, sanctify us completely perfect by taking this outward body and the outward emotions, the outward mind, brain, the outward soul, which is in our outward body, and taking it off and replacing it with a new eternal body, incorruptible. So we want to talk about the outward body, because many believers think, I just need to get rid of the bad emotions, anger, jealousy, strife, and I need to embrace the good emotions. But what they may not see is that there is a source of emotions and thinking that comes from the natural man, the natural part of your soul, which is always carnal. Even the good emotions are carnal. But there's another source available for us, which is in the inner man, the inner body, the inner part of our spiritual part of our soul, mind, will, and emotions, that can be cultivated and grow to where we can live from that love and not the love of the carnal part of our soul. In other words, it's not about good and bad with the natural emotions. It's about what source are we going to live out of? Are we going to use the source of love that comes from our inner man, or accept the source of love that comes from our outward man? Because the love that comes from our outward man is carnal. It's from this earth. It will never meet the mark of what God has for you. The peace that you can have that comes from your inner man is a gazillion times stronger than the peace that you can get from the best natural means. The natural body, when it talks about it, the flesh, is not just talking about your skin and your hair. It's talking about the natural part of your soul that is housed in your natural body, just like an animal. So let's look at the body here. I'm going to give you some things that the body and flesh are called. And this adds to some of the confusion, and that's why we have to learn this. I'm going to Romans chapter 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Romans, here we are. Chapter 8. Now, the word flesh can mean three different things as far as I can tell. It can mean the nature of sin that you're born with from Adam. The word flesh can also be interpreted as a nationality, a Jewish nationality, that I am Canadian flesh, I am Canadian. Sometimes the word flesh can mean that. I'm going to show this to you in Scripture. And then mostly it means the desires of our natural soul that's in our natural body. And that's why I want you to get a closer look at, I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body. Like, you know, let's look closer. That's good, and that'll be good enough. That's all you ever learn, good enough. But there's so much more that you'll understand if you look deeper to what that really means, what really happens when you're born again. So if I say, I am a spirit, what does that mean to you? what does it mean that I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body? So what does that mean to you? I've heard so many definitions of spirit. I have a little cloudy ball of light. What does it mean by spirit? What does it mean when God speaks to you spirit to spirit? What does that mean to you? You should understand or try to understand what that means and think about it and let God give you revelation about what He made you. So I am a spirit. What does that mean? I have a soul. What does that mean? That I have a mind, will, and emotions. Okay, and I live in a body. Okay, at a distance, that's great. But when you go closer, you'll find out that you have to learn more to really understand what on earth the Bible's talking about. Otherwise, you can misinterpret many, many scriptures. So I'm over in Romans chapter 8. And we're going to read here verse 8 and 9. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So in this word flesh here in Romans 8, if you interpret that as meaning I'm just having a fleshly day. You know, I had a bad day. My hair wasn't looking good. My teeth were aching. I think I got a cavity. My dog was throwing up on the carpet. My kids were screaming. And I ended up yelling at my neighbor. Sorry, I just had a flesh day. So verse 8 says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You can interpret that, but that would be wrong. Because in verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Now see, many times, we're going to go into the word spirit soon, not today. But many times when people say in the spirit, they think I'm in heaven, like I'm just walking around in the glory. I'm out in the spirit. And we have to understand in context, what is he talking about? And because the word flesh can mean three different things, the same word, then the only way to really know in what it means when you're reading it is what context is he talking about. Otherwise, you'll swap them and confuse the scripture. And we want to go beyond that. We want to get the truth because the truth is what changes us. You can put your heart in the truth and build in the truth and hold on to the truth when you know it's the truth. So verse 8, so those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So we have to decide what he means by the word flesh here. Does he mean nature of sin? Does he mean desires of the body, the natural part of my soul? Or does he mean nationality? Those who are Jewish, those who are Gentiles cannot please God? Well, I don't think it means that because it says cannot. So it's you cannot please God. Those are in the flesh. Maybe emotionally I had a bad day. I fleshed out, yelled at my neighbor. But you are not in the flesh. Well, I'm wearing my body. What does he mean? But in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. So here it says, you are not in the flesh. What he means in the context here, that word flesh means you don't have the nature of sin in you anymore because you're born again. You now have the nature of Christ. So you're not in the flesh, you're in the spirit. That's what that means, that you have the nature of Christ and you no longer have the nature of sin. The word flesh is used for that. Another good way to look at that is in verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. So at what point, if I interpret the word flesh here as meaning my body, my natural emotions having a bad flesh day, I'm going to die. If I live according to the flesh, how far? 3 steps? 10 steps? When is it that I am going to die? Because this is pretty solid. You will die. And so verse 13, if you interpret the word flesh as meaning the old nature of sin, that makes sense. That if I live according to the nature of sin, there's no way to please God. There's no way to get to heaven. I will die. But if by the Spirit, if I live by the new nature, because I no longer have the fleshly nature of sin, I can live and I can overcome, in verse 13, put to death the deeds of the body. So here's the word body, but it has deeds. So again, when we think of body, when we hear the word body, we cannot just think my natural body is just the meat. It has deeds. Where do those deeds come from? Have you ever had your finger talk to you, say, hey, do this, do that? No. The deeds of the body is the natural part of your soul. That's the natural part of the soul that has plans and desires and emotions. Now, let's look over in Romans 9. Just really quick here. Verse 3. Paul is saying, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption. So here the word flesh means nationality. Paul saying, I am a Israelite. I was born of Israel, my fellow countrymen, according to the flesh, that we have the same heritage from the nation we were born in. So that is the word flesh. So that is another interpretation in Scripture for the word flesh. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, I know I'm just doing a kind of a word study here, so it's kind of a educational lately on this, but we have to learn these things. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. Oh, I'll start in verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. So you were born again. You were made from death to life. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh. We were like that, and we were led by the lust of our flesh. The flesh has lust. Where does the source of lust that you battle come from? The lust for money, the lust for things, where does that come from? It comes from the natural soul that's in the body. I'm trying to get us to quit thinking that I just have a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and I have to bring it over. I have to mortify it when I realize I do have a soul that's connected to the spiritual man, the inner man, and it's alive, full of life, and I can make it grow in strength and knowledge of who it is and mature to where I can then find the source of the outward man's emotions and desires and mortify them. Verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of the world, according to the principality of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. So the flesh has desires and lusts, and we didn't have a choice because we were completely dark at the time. The desires of the flesh and of the mind. So here I want you to see that you have a natural mind that was giving you desires and thoughts, and were by nature children of wrath just as others. So the flesh has desires and thoughts and plans for you. And the plans aren't always wrong, sin. Sometimes the plans are just missing the mark of what God has for you. It likes to hide in religion. Let's look over here, Galatians chapter 5. And I was trying to skim through this. I'm preaching too long on this, actually. Galatians 5, verse 24. Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. So first thing I want us to see is that we have passions and desires. So this word flesh here is not talking about the nature of sin, because you don't longer have a nature of sin. It's telling you that when you were saved, your body was left walking around on this earth, and it contained the desires and plans of the natural man that weren't redeemed, were not rescued, they were left to dead. That's why where your fight comes from. It doesn't come because you're a mess. It comes because you're wearing a body that is a mess. And what we mortify is not the skin. You know, we want this body healthy and happy and shiny and looking good so it'll walk us through this earth, so we can accomplish what we're supposed to do. It's talking about the natural desires, which is your natural part of your soul. You have a mind of the natural man, and you had a mind of the spiritual man, a spiritual mind, a brain made of spirit. When you're in heaven and they do an autopsy on you and they realize your brain is still here, do they call your spouse and say, I'm so sorry to report to you that your spouse is in heaven without a brain. I'm so sorry. He or she left their brain here on this earth. So they are in heaven brainless. Do we lose our brains? What do we think out of when we're in heaven? What do we think out of? Well, we have a spiritual brain. We always had, but now it's light, and that's why God can speak to you now when he couldn't speak to you before you were saved. Because now your inner man, your spiritual man, the brain inside of it, has the ability to understand the deep things of God, and God's happy to talk to you because it is brought to light in life by the nature of God. It's in the same class, the same ability to understand God. You can understand the things of God. But if you just live your life out of your carnal mind, you'll never understand the things of God because the carnal brain can never understand the things of God. If it could, God would have taught us before we were saved. This is what the Old Testament saints were waiting for, wish they had. They would trade places with us in a moment. Galatians 5, verse 24. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So I want you to begin to look at it the way I see it now, that I was a creature of darkness before I was saved. And because God designed mankind to be connected to both worlds at the same time, every child born has a spiritual body and a natural body that are joined together in perfect harmony. And this is why some spiritualists who aren't Christians can connect to the spiritual world, because they found that I have something working in me more than just what the world says I have. There's more to me than just me. And they're finding out that they have an inner man, but it's dark, but it's still there. And when I received the new nature that went into my inner man and brought my inner man to life, but it renewed it. In other words, it cleansed all the darkness. It got rid of all the thinking, knowledge that was in darkness, washed me white. Now my nature, I have a nature of light that brought to life my inner body, my inner man, my inner part of my soul. And it's lit up. Now it's like a baby. It's got to grow. It has to learn. It has to mature, because it starts like Jesus started, born in Bethlehem. You were born the day you asked Jesus in your heart. I used to make fun of people. They come up to me and say, "Oh, brother, it's my birthday today." And I say, "Oh, that's great. I'm so sorry. I didn't know. I didn't see it on social media." And they said, "Oh, no, not my natural birthday, my spiritual birthday." And I kind of like, "Oh, yeah, that's cute." And just kind of like, "Yeah, that's just cute. That, you know, that's a little too spiritual for me." But now I realize how right they are. I was born the moment I asked Jesus in my heart, my inner man. That's why I have to mature. Like, fruit comes from a mature tree. Fruit of the Spirit means it doesn't just come automatically. That's why I have to learn, because I have no knowledge yet in my spiritual mind. I have to learn it. That's why we pray in tongues. We get the teacher to teach us spirit to spirit, so our inner mind can learn the truth of the word, who we are and who God is. And from that position, I can then look to the outward man and mortify it. Say, "You don't get to tell me who I am anymore." A lot of Christians are stuck in a cycle of trying this, but they're never maturing. They're never putting enough effort into the spiritual part of themselves. So they're just trying to discipline the flesh. They're trying to use willpower. And they last for a season, then they fall. They last for a season, then they fall. I was in that horrible cycle. So we're seeing here that the flesh has emotions. It has desires. It has ability to fight. It fights against the spirit. So in verse 16, Galatians chapter 5, please just stay with me. Galatians chapter 5, it says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another." So this is talking about, see, you don't have two natures in you. You don't have one nature. You're either dark or you're light. So the fight of the flesh here, the flesh is not talking about my natural body fighting against the Holy Spirit, because he would squish me in a second. This is the fight between my inner man and my outward man. Paul refers to that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that the outward man is perishing day by day while the inner man is being renewed. See, this is the same message to a different group. There's a walk of the Spirit. There's a war, a battle that's contrary. The outward man is contrary to the inner man, but the outward man, the flesh, lust, desires. It wants to rule you, tell you what's going to make you happy, lead your steps, tell you where to go, what career to take, who to marry, what school to go to. It wants to dictate your life. Not just lead you into sin, but just lead your life. But yet you have an inner man that if you let it grow, it will produce fruit. Well, where does it get the fruit from? It reaches into the new nature and pulls out the fruit, and it becomes part of who you are. So now you have a source of love that is a billion, zillion, gazillion times bigger and stronger than the source of love from your outward man. The outward man's love is a cheap imitation. It's not even close. The outward man's peace, the outward man's joy is not even close to the... If I learn how to reach into the source of my inner man and walk in that as it grows, I can have more of that peace that nothing shakes me from the Word of God. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. Again, I'm trying to show you that when the Word of God uses the word flesh, it can mean the nature of sin. It can mean the nationality that you are. And it can also mean the desires of the natural part of your soul. And that's what we're emphasizing on today. That what we are mortifying is the natural desires that were left on you in the natural man. So instead of saying that I'm a liar or an exaggerator, or because everyone struggles in some area. Let's say it's lying and exaggerating, that I am a liar. You don't need to say that. You can say, I am a righteous child of God, made in the image of God. And I struggle with lying because my natural man still pushes me that way. But it won't be there forever because I can mortify it. And I can make it die, the roots of it to die. So I'll live out of my inner man's thinking, emotions, instead of my outward man. And then one day, even though I have to struggle my whole life with this, one day I'll get a new body, outward man, and it'll connect to my inward body, and I'll once again be whole and complete in perfection. No more fighting, no more thinking wrong, no more desires that are wrong. I'll be wholly light. God would have completed rescuing me from the family of Adam, birthing me into as a child of God, and completing the job when the trumpet sounds, my outward man, which will contain an outward soul, mind, will, and emotions, will connect to my inner man in the inner part of my mind, will, emotions, and they'll be exactly the same, as righteous as Jesus himself. No more fear, no more worry. That's why those in heaven have no sadness, no fear, no anger, because the source of those things is their natural man, which is on the earth if you're in heaven. But you're not left in that inner body. You're going to receive a new outward body. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said in verse 29 and 30, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body be cast into hell. Now, we don't take this literally, that we're supposed to cut off our hand, because my hand doesn't just go do what it wants to do. It's my natural, I have allowed it and commanded it to go. My eyes, I control my eyes. I remember when I was a young youth pastor and we had read how in the Old Testament, I can't remember who it was, Elijah maybe? Forgive me, but someone said, I make a covenant with my eyes. And I remember learning that I can make a covenant with my eyes and I can say, eyes, you only look at good things. You don't look at sinful things. So I made a covenant that I would not allow my eyes to wander. And And I took the youth. I was a youth pastor, young youth pastor. I was only a couple years older than the youth. And we took them to a water park. So here we all are with hundreds and hundreds of people running around in bathing suits, bikinis everywhere, and I'm a young man, and I had to get my eyes and look this way and look that way. I hardly even saw the water because I was looking up the air more than I was looking down. But I had made determined I won't let my eyes look. And even though, you know, there was maybe an attractive girl go by, my eye wanted to look. It wasn't my eye. It was my natural soul saying, you should look and flirt. And, you know, whatever reason, it's natural. It's not necessarily wrong. But I was wanting to look, and I pulled my eyes over here and look up, you know. And I had to demand that I wouldn't allow my eyes to wander. Well, it wasn't my eyeballs that were wandering. It was something in me that wanted that. And at the end, one of the teenage girls came up to me and said, you know, I was curious how you would do, and I watched you all day, and I just want you to know how impressed I am. I'm going to call you a man of God now, because you did not look at the girls. You did not, like, stare and look and, you know, all the stuff a guy my age probably would do. I remember thinking, wow, I never even thought someone might be watching me. Thank God I did that, and the report was good, not bad. And so where was those desires to run my eyes? That was my natural soul. And so here when it says pluck out your eye, he doesn't mean to actually pluck out your eyeball, but to go to the source of what's causing your eye to want to sin and kill that. To go to the source. See, we're not talking about the natural body. We're talking about the natural soul inside of the natural body. There's a desire for my right hand to go sin. Well, let's find out why my right hand wants to go sin, and let's mortify that or cut it out. Let's go to another verse here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The outward body, the flesh, is the natural part of your soul, mind, will, and emotions. And that's the part that God had to leave you. You're not schizophrenic, but you have part of you that's left dark. Part of your emotions is left dark, where the other part of you, the spiritual part of your emotions, were brought to life and are light. Part of you was left dark in the way you think, the natural mind. Well, part of you, your spiritual mind, was brought to life, and now they are contrary to each other, and you get to choose who you walk out of, who you let grow, and who you get to diminish and mortify. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm just going to make this short and sweet here, this part. Verse 24. Or do you not know that those who run a race all run, but one receives the prize? Only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. Now, for years I had such a hard time with this verse, because we're not supposed to compete with each other. We're not supposed to compare ourselves one to another. So who are we running against? Because this is a race that we're running, and there's a prize if we win. Well, he tells us in verse 27 who you are racing against. But I discipline my body. Now, that's who you are in a race with. You have an inner man that was brought to life by the new nature, but you're still wearing the outward man. Now, your life is about running a race against the outward man. Who's going to lead it? Who's going to win it? Because if you allow your outward man just to do what it wants, it will serve God. It will go to church, but it will not go into Jesus. Many Christians are born again, but they're running their race and losing against their outward man, their outward mind, will, and emotions. The outward soul has desires and plans. It's so important you understand that. Your outward soul has a voice, has plans and desires, and it's trying to pull you the way it thinks you should be. And now you're a new creature wearing that, And it's intimate because they're connected cell for cell, the spiritual and the outward. So it feels very personal. But if you allow the outward body, the outward part of your soul, mind, will, and emotions to dictate to you who you are, what's going to make you happy, and even how you serve God, then you will lose your race because that's who you're racing against. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. So even us preachers have to deal with our outward body. Now the word discipline here, but I discipline my body. It's not like I use discipline. Like I tell my body no, I tell myself no, and I'm done. I'm just not going to do that anymore. That's the start of it, but that's not the finish of it. It's not talking about discipline. It's lined up with verse 26 where it says, I fight as one, not as one who beats the air. So I am a professional fighter. I'm not missing the mark. I'm pow, hitting it. And that's what it means. So when it says I discipline my body, the word discipline means to hit black and blue, to beat the tar out of, to knock it upside of the head. It's like I've been disciplining it, like beating it up. You will not tell me what to do anymore. Pow. And not talking about the kids here. We're not using, this is not one for kids. This is talking about an enemy against you, trying to hold you back, trying to stop you from running. It's trying to win the race. It's competing against you. This is the same language, flesh lusts against the spirit. They're contrary to the one another. You got to punch it. You got to fight it. Where do I punch? Do I just, I got to punch my flesh. Punch my body. Body, stop it. Pull my eye out. No, it means to deal with the natural part of your soul. You don't tell me who I am anymore, and I'm going to punch it. So many Christians are beating the air out of zeal. I want to serve God. I want to do good. And they run ahead, and they miss the whole point of what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to mortify the deeds of the body. Let's go to Mark chapter 2. This will be my last verse, I think, for today. Matthew, Mark. I'm so pleased that you're still watching and learning and listening. And I pray that the image that I'm trying to get across to you is so much better. I remember being in that class where they taught me how to take the tire off of a car. And I used to think that a tire was just rubber and the rim and brakes. But as I got closer, I discovered that the rubber has a little valve in it and a tube inside of it. And the rim had lug nuts and bolts. And the brakes had like many, many parts. And that's all I'm trying to do. The church world has accepted that I am a spirit that has a soul and lives in a body. And from a distance, it's absolutely correct. And you can hold on to that and do very, very well with your walk with God. But I want us to go closer and find out what it means when it says I have a body. Because I've shown you we have an inner body and an outward body, and we're going to have an external body, a new eternal body. What does it mean when I have a soul? Does that mean me, soul? Or does that mean my mind, will, and emotions? Well, am I trapped with a natural mind, will, and emotions? What does it mean I have to, if that's all I'm working with, then why didn't God work with that before I was saved? Why didn't he work with that with the old Gentiles and the old people of the Old Testament? Why did he have to wait until I was born again, until Jesus was resurrected, before he can speak to us spirit to spirit? Why didn't it happen before? Because our soul is not just mind, will, and emotions. Your soul is connected to both worlds, spiritual and natural, but the spiritual side of you, the spiritual body, the inner man, which contains the spiritual side of your mind, will, and emotions, is connected to the outward side of your mind, will, and emotions. But the inner man came to life. The new nature brought it to life. Now, because it is brought to the life by the very life of Christ, the very light of God is in you and brought to life your inner man. You didn't gain all of the knowledge of Jesus the moment you were saved, but you have the capacity to grow in that knowledge. You didn't gain all the emotions of Jesus in that moment, but you did gain access to where those emotions can rise up and become like fruit in your life. And then from there, you can mortify the cheap imitation to say, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. That's wrong. That's not who I am. And that is the mortification. We're going to get into transformation here. Not today. We're just laying the groundwork. Mark chapter 2, verse 20. Mark 2, verse 20. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and they will fast in those days. So the question was, why are your disciples not fasting? John's disciples are fasting. Jesus said, the day will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else a new piece pulls away from the old, and the tear is made worse. And verse 22, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the wine is spilt, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. And Jesus is talking about the reason for fasting under the new child of God. Why do we fast? It's different than why they fasted in the Old Testament, because they were all not born again yet. No one's born again until Jesus was glorified himself. So what he's saying is, in salvation, that's exactly what's going to happen, is he has to put new wine into old wineskins. And fasting is how you help to change the old wineskin to new wineskin so it doesn't bust. And basically, it means before you were saved, you had the wine of darkness in you. And if you know why you don't put new wine into old wineskins, because hopefully you're not a wine drinker. But back then, the wineskins was usually made of hide, and they would fill it full of wine and let it develop. And that wine would seep into the hide and wouldn't just live there. It would become part of the hide. It stained it. It became part of it. And it actually hardened a little bit. So when you poured it out, you didn't put new wine in it, because the new wine would expand and have nowhere to go, because the old wineskin would hold it in because it was hard and stained with the old wine that was in it before. And that's what God had to do with you, is he had to take out the old nature of sin, the old dark wine, pull it out and replace it with new wine, but it's in an old wineskin. So the old wineskin is your outward body, and it has been stained by the old nature that's not there anymore, but it's stained. And this is the imagery Jesus is trying to make, that the new wine has to go into the old wineskin. The only way to get us ultimately to being redeemed completely, he had to leave us in this natural body, but he brought to life the inner man, the inner body. Now you have a fight between the inner man and the outward man. The old wineskin doesn't have the old wine in it anymore. It has a new wine. And many Christians, they're born again, they got the new wine, but they're living out of the old wineskin, the desires, the plans, the emotions, the thoughts of the old nature. Even though they don't have the old nature stained that outward man enough, and it hardened to where you cannot take the new nature. This body cannot understand God, cannot receive the things of God. That's why we have to mortify it, and we're waiting for the new body, the new wineskin, where we'll be one completely light, a wine of light instead of a wine of dark. We are stuck with this outward hardened wineskin. And that's why fasting is a part, we'll talk about that one day, where fasting is helping to take out that stain, in essence, not be ruled by it anymore. And so we're wearing this body. This body has a natural soul, mind, will, and emotions that are from this world. They're from the old creature of the human race. I'm going to read to you the words of the scripture, what talks about your natural man, the natural body, the outward man, the outward part of your soul, mind, will, and emotions, the flesh. These are the wordings that God calls. This is what God calls it. God calls your outward man, your wineskin, your old wineskin. He calls it flesh and blood, natural, corrupt, dishonored, carnal, vain, dust, earthen vessel, terrestrial body, outward man, human, earthly house, tent, weakness, mortal, and dead. Not dead like an animal on the road, dead as in it is death. The old wineskin has been stained by the old wine, the old dark wine that was removed when you were born again. The new nature brought in new wine, and your inner man came to life, and now they're at war. They're fighting one another. You're not a mess. You're just wearing a mess. And you have, by the power of God, through transformation, the ability to not stay a mess, to not allow the outward man to tell you anymore who you are, what to think, what to feel, where to go. That is a process of transformation. We are going to get more and more into this. I hope I'm not driving you crazy. I hope you're enjoying this. Always, it's been my pleasure. Thank you for spending time with me. God bless you.